The very much anticipated reports from the USDA came out this morning. The question is, did they throw some curveballs? You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, with Global Commodity Analytics. And I know from a wheat perspective, there might have been a little bit of a surprise. But overall, what was your takeaway of today's report?
You know, I feel like this was a surprise when it came to the wheat acreage number, Susan, and I think the trade was a surprise announcement on the corn stocks being very low and right at the low end of the trade estimates, if not just a hair below the low end of trade estimates. But it shouldn't be a surprise to us, and I think that's where I would classify it, especially given the lack of premium, and I would even go so far as to say the discount in these markets that we've been carrying. And so what I've been working from in the analysis has been, okay, the second half of June should be a time period where we segue from a fund investment-led market with the oil and the macro conditions, stronger dollar, things like that, working against us, the U.S. weather for the grow crops not being conducive to buying into, but kind of shed what happened from mid-May to mid-June. And then as we close out the month of June, see what develops in the Northern Hemisphere for the weather, i.e. Europe and the Black Sea. And, you know, before we even talk about today's report, the Paris corn market had gone above the wheat price, and the Paris corn futures was trading $6.80 a bushel against the September contract compared to our price of $4 a bushel for the low today and what we traded yesterday. And so there was a lot out there in the wheat and in the corn that the trade just simply had not looked at. And I'm hoping at this point, given the wheat acreage number, taking probably another 30 million bushels off of carryover for the United States and putting our ending stocks closer to 700 million bushels compared to 744 from last month, and given the corn stocks number being about 115 million bushels less than the average trade guess, disappearance down 240 million bushels more this time period than the same time period last year, we're tighter in supplies in wheat and corn, and I'm hopeful that the market realizes that and says, let's go back and trade the first notice day. Let's go back and trade the Stats Canada's wheat acreage numbers this morning that were down almost 6%. Let's trade these wheat acres. Let's trade these corn figures. Let's trade the European and Black Sea weather. Let's get out of this funk of the funds and the investment money flows. So we'll see if that happens or not.
Well, you know, you talk about all the different factors that were weighing in. And I mean, you look at the crop acres and the specifically corn and soybean acres, slightly negative for the corn, not so much for the soybeans, right on where we predicted. So really, from that perspective, there wasn't a lot of surprise for the market to react.
Yeah, and I think this is where the trade, I think, has been in a mindset that we were going to do in December corn what we did the last 2 years during this time period, and that is essentially go down to 360, 365 between late June and early mid-August, and we've done that 2 years in a row now. I don't think we need to do that. I think the fundamentals are much different. We know now, I mean, we knew before the wheat acreage number was reduced today that we were dealing with 50-plus year lows in U.S. wheat production. We know that we've got 41-year lows in crude oil stocks here in this country. We know now that the corn demand is much stronger than what USDA was presenting in their reports before today when it came to the 25-26 numbers. Our exports by themselves are up 25% versus USDA being up 16% for the year. And you know, that ends up being about 250 million bushels. And so to me, the numbers all make sense today. It just goes to make you wonder, okay, is the fund market going to play ball with this? And are they going to divorce themselves from this mindset that we're going to play it like we did the last 2 years or not? And I think we'll know that in the next 7 days, essentially. I think by the time we get to the end of the first week of July, we've got all these numbers behind us. I'm hopeful that the July corn and the July beans and the July wheat lead the market higher, and that we pull the premium from the back end and that big carrying charge, it goes into the front end, and we balance these markets out a little bit better. And then we see what the weather looks like as we get into the July 4th holiday and right after here in this country.
You know, you bring up a good point too, Mike, when it comes to this weather, because you got to watch what's happening with this heat dome that everybody's been talking about, the concerns with the showers that are and aren't hitting some areas. So is this where we're going to see the markets kind of move post-digesting today's USDA data dump?
I would think that they would work from the European and Black Sea markets immediately right now, Susan, because that's now hitting us. I mean, we're talking about 26 to 30-year lows potentially in French corn production, being the largest in Europe in terms of producing, other than not including the Black Sea countries of Ukraine and not including Russia. But even the Ukrainian Farmers Union, I believe it was, talked about how they were very nervous about the lack of rain and the high temperatures for both sunflower and corn harvests coming up here in southern Ukraine. And so I feel like that we have the northern hemisphere already covered with Europe and the Black Sea. It'd almost be kind of cold icing on the cake if the U.S. turned off hot and dry and this ridge didn't break down next week like the forecasts are calling for. To answer your question in a bigger picture, I've told clients and subscribers this year, I'm not going to rely upon U.S. weather if this El Nino is supposed to be historic. Like we've talked about the Godzilla El Nino, it's really about Asia and Southeast Asia and India and Australia. And India's meteorological department is already saying we've got problems coming for our monsoons. So I think the funds, if they're going to reload their longs, if it's not going to be because of supply and demand fundamentals that we have already present, if they're going to reload because of weather in the big picture, I think it would be because we see the southern hemisphere, i.e. Australia and India and Southeast Asia, have a lot more difficult time raising crops, and the world prices go up, and we're one of the beneficiaries of that because we've got the supplies and we've got relatively good weather.
Why the drop in the cattle complex like we saw today?
I really think it's the leftover and the spillover from the box beef price dropping so dramatically at the end of last week and the first of this week. And I think, obviously, the corn turn to the upside, that's going to be attached to the feeder cattle because of the trade. The funds continue to buy feeders and sell fat, corn for the most part. But I think the big thing that I've noticed is we've made a run up towards those old highs, the 381 high in feeder cattle, and the 258 level we're right up against with June getting ready to expire. These old highs were pretty much there, and we've used a lot of energy to get up there. Now, having said that, we've got a 242 August contract, against a 258 June contract that's getting ready to expire here pretty much at the end of the day. And so I'm going to be watching to see if that August contract doesn't play catch up with the June and doesn't play catch up with the negotiated cash market. And we go back to maybe the fat cattle leading this market and bringing in some support, especially for the feeder complex.
All right, Mike Zuzel joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's a Tuesday market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.